The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Advaratma. The Supreme Enjoyer of all Sacrifices. The Yajna Purusha. Magoni. When King Indra. Madhyati. Intoxicated. Uru. Greatly. Somapite. Drinking the intoxicant called Soma. Shraddha. By devotion. Vishuddha. Purified. Achala. And steady. Bhakti Yoga. By devotional service. Samarpita. Offered. Ija. Of worshipping. Padam. The result. Ajahara. Accepted personally. So translation. In Maharaj Gaya's sacrifice, there was a great supply of the intoxicant known as Soma. King Indra used to come and become intoxicated by drinking large quantities of Soma Ras. Also, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the Yajna Purusha, also came and personally accepted all the sacrifices offered unto him with pure and firm devotion in the sacrificial arena. So you can repeat. In Maharaja Gaya's sacrifices, there was a great supply of the intoxicant, known as Soma. King Indra used to come and become intoxicated by drinking large quantities of Soma Ras. Also, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the Yajna Purusha, also came and personally accepted all the sacrifices offered unto him with pure and firm devotion in the sacrificial arena. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada, Prabhupada Ki Jai. Maharaja Gaya was so perfect that he satisfied all the demigods who were headed by the heavenly King Indra. Lord Vishnu himself also personally came to the sacrificial arena to accept the offerings. Although Maharaj Gaya did not want them, he received all the blessings of the demigods and the Supreme Lord himself. Okay. Yashyadvare Bhagavan Advaratma Gauri Madhyat Urusoma Pite Shraddha Vishuddha Chala Bhakti Yoga Samarpite Jha Palam Ajahara Soma Ganat Sumananda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshuram Niditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So one thing that's very important to understand is that even though Lord Vishnu came, he didn't take any of the soma. So this word soma is mentioned many times in the Vedic literatures, in the Yajurveda, it's mentioned in the Rig Veda, so many places it's mentioned. And people nowadays, of course, have been trying to figure out what it is because they want to imitate some. Speculations say that it's ephedra, which is like a stimulant that sometimes the athletes use and they die from taking it. And some people would say it's marijuana and poppy. There's different speculations about what soma is. It's quite interesting. Maybe even some of the anthropologists have analyzed some of the cups that were used in the sacrifices by the brahmanas. And they They said, well, there's the imprint of poppy seeds here. You know, like, anyway, poppy. Not the poppy seeds that you use to make cookies, but the poppy seeds that are, anyway, you understand. So whatever soma is, it's not something that's taken by pure devotees, and it's not something that's taken by people who want to advance in spiritual life, but by people maybe who are mixed in their mixed devotion, like the demigods, because it's an intoxicant. So let's speak a little bit about intoxication, since commonly misunderstood what intoxication is. I mean, generally, we think that intoxication is drugs. I mean, that's just one small aspect of intoxication. I mean, there's many reasons people do take intoxication. And it's not only like getting drunk or, you know, some hippies in the dormitories just like smoking the marijuana or something like that. There's many, many reasons. And all these reasons for taking material intoxication should be avoided. And we're going to talk about different types of intoxication, since it's a class on intoxication. So, first of all, there are certain types of material intoxication that are permitted, which is interesting. And one type I can think of course, if one is in extreme pain in the hospital and they have to take some pain reliever, you know, if they're in hospice or something like that, isn't it? Someone's in hospice and they're suffering from cancer, and it's extreme pain, then it may be permitted to take some hemp. Anyway, some marijuana or any of these, or morphine or any of these other drugs to alleviate the pain. Or if you're having an operation, usually we don't perform operations, I mean, I don't perform operations, but usually people don't perform operations without anesthesia. So it's not really the substance that determines whether something is breaking the principles or intoxication, but it's actually the use of it that determines. And you'll find things that are not generally considered intoxicants can be intoxicants. Anyway, we'll talk about this. So it's really important to understand this, because one of the principles of that we're restricted in is taking intoxication, isn't it? Four regulated principles. No illicit sex, no gambling, no meat eating, and no intoxication. So, and interestingly enough, you'll find three of the principles related with intoxication. You know, illicit sex, or the attraction between men and women, intoxicates one. And like we mentioned many times before, the brain scan of someone in love is the same as someone who snorts cocaine. We mentioned that, and you all heard that before. So that's a sort of intoxication, and therefore, sometimes the woman or the man is called madana, means mad in me, like that. You understand? And madana is also a name for Cupid. So Cupid intoxicates people. So illicit sex is intoxicating, and gambling. What to speak of gambling? Gambling is very intoxicating too, because one just becomes completely aloof from his normal state of consciousness. Even if his normal state of consciousness is in Maya, he just becomes within an illusion, an illusion within an illusion. That's what, actually Prabhupada coined that term, insofar as people take an intoxication and puts them in an illusion within an illusion. In other words, you already think you're the body, which is a big illusion. I mean, you're already intoxicated. Just by being in the material world, Lord Vrishabhadev says, "Nunam pramata kuru te vikarma yadindriya pritya apranoti." That one who considers the gratification of the senses, yadindriya pritya, to be very important, or the senses are very dear to him, "Nunam pramata kuru te vikarma," that he becomes mad. In other words, intoxicated. So you see that, you know, there's intoxication going on in the material world anyway. So there's bona fide types of material intoxication if one is suffering from some disease or needs some pain relief like that. So why do people take intoxication, not in a bona fide way in this world. Let's analyze these things so we can see if we're doing these things and whether we're actually breaking the principles. What does it mean to break the principles? It means to take us further away from Krishna. That's the point. Because the first regulated principle is to always remember Krishna, and the second regulated principle is to never forget Krishna. So if you're doing something that forgets, that facilitates your forgetting Krishna, that's like breaking the principles. It's very interesting. All right. So one type of intoxication that people take or indulge in is the type to enhance their performance. You ever heard of that before? Performance enhancing. What do I mean? Coffee. That enhances their performance because, you know, people wake up in the morning and if they're not that Krishna conscious, they're really dull. And so they take it to get themselves up in the morning. It's a stimulant. Or in sports, there's, like I mentioned, the ephedra, which is a type of stimulant, right? Or, you know, other types of stimulants too. Or, of course, steroids are not specifically stimulants, but they help one build up their muscles. You know, their performance enhancement, in one sense. So, and you find that many of our athletes who won gold medals, there was a very famous person who was won a bicycle championship. Don't mention his name. That's not subject matter for class. And it was found that he was taking performance-enhancing drugs like that. So this is one reason people take it. And it's not justified just because you're performing. Let's say, well, I chant better. I can wake up early in the morning if I take my cup of coffee before Mangalarti. It's not justified because it covers your consciousness. So that's the real point. What covers a person's consciousness? So that's one way, one way. Another reason people take intoxication is just to relax. You take a little wine at night, right? Wine with the meal, relax. And so when they can relax, they can engage in a social intercourse with their friends. They feel much more at ease. Like that, and generally they go to the, in Europe at least, they go to the pub. The pub is where everyone, everyone's heard of a pub before? A pub is where everyone hangs out and talks all sorts of nonsense. I mean, just everybody's over 18 goes to a pub in the UK. I mean, it's just like, you can't have friends unless you go to a pub. I mean, America's a little different, we just go on our computer. And that's enough. Anyway, I'll discuss that type of intoxication. And another reason people may take intoxication, like in the 1960s, was for so-called spiritual life. You know, they think it actually enhances, just like people sometimes in India. Prabhupada said that this marijuana, of course, came from India, as all good things come. So if we want to introduce Indian culture, we should introduce marijuana, right? Of course, they take it in a much more concentrated form. You know, there's really, really big things. And they have the drink, bong. You heard of bong? Before? And so probably the hippies learned it from India. And then in some places you go in India, it's growing everywhere on the sides of the roads. I even at Govardhan, one devotee pointed out, you know, if you ever want some of this herbal medicine, you go by this particular temple and there's 3 or 4 acres of it growing freely for everybody. Yeah. Or one time I was going circumambulating the temple and some of the devotees in the back of the temple, they were, anyway, Toki, or whatever it's called. And they offered me, they said, Maharaj, Mahaprasad. Because it was offered to Lord Shiva. I mean, obviously, nobody offers marijuana to Krishna. Hopefully not. And so it was offered to Lord Shiva, and they thought, you know, I was thinking, if I refuse it, I'm going to offend them. And so I just said, well, it's a Kadashi today, you know. Any other day is all right. They're not a Kadashi, so. So people, and in America, of course, people were taking it all over. There's books written about it. You know, Timothy, I don't want to mention his last name. And, you know, one of his associates who wrote a book, Be Here Now, and all the hippies were reading it, and they thought that they were realizing things. Of course, it's interesting, people think they're engaged in spiritual realization. And they may even record what they're saying under the influence of these different drugs, the psychedelics especially. And they're thinking they're coming up with the most profound statements and realizations. And then you play back the tape or the MP3 later on, you find out it's a bunch of nonsense that's come out. It's really, really amazing. So that's another reason people take it. Another reason is just entertainment or to be unhappy. Cover the miseries that one is experiencing in this material world. I mean, there's many, many reasons people take intoxication. Of course, demigods they take it, they're generally Sakama devotees. Sakama means they have some material desires to fulfill, and they're also Krishna conscious. They take it for enjoyment. You know, that's their method of enjoyment. But it actually takes one further away from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So let's discuss. All right, we discussed the reasons people take intoxication. Let's discuss the different types of intoxication, you know, the methodologies of intoxication. And this may not be too politically correct. So obviously the drugs. Let's leave that aside because I don't need to get into those details. But also, let's say video games. You know, where people become so much immersed. In many places in the world, people just go for like 12, 14, 16, 24 hours playing a video game because they become so intoxicated. Or many different aspects of the media, like television, movies, like that, is very, very intoxicating. I know in India, movies are very, very popular. Of course, in America, too. And people will crowd these theaters just to forget about their ordinary lives. You understand? Because their lives may be boring, or there may be a misery. So for a few rupees, they can actually go and just forget for a few minutes and see this phantasmagoria on the screen. So that's a type of intoxication. Also, Prabhupada said, frivolous sports. You understand? Frivolous sports. And I was speaking to one of my godbrothers one time who was very attached to sports. And I said, don't you understand, Prabhupada said, we should not engage in frivolous sports. And he replied to me, but he said, I'm very serious about my sports. I'm not frivolous. It's a good excuse. You understand? The frivolous, you know, means just like not being serious. So he said, when I do sports, I'm very serious, so it's not a frivolous sport. So, it's some of you may know. But anyway, so, you know, sporting active, frivolous sports. I mean, of course, one can exercise, one can do things for a variety of reasons. Sports are not prohibited. I mean, if one's doing them for, you know, keeping the body together or developing some sort of team spirit with the devotees, that may be all right. I mean, like we've gone whitewater rafting with the devotees or played volleyball with the devotees. And it develops a team spirit. So there's actually some spiritual purpose behind it. So it's not just that sports themselves are mundane. Of course, nowadays, I was just reading that 25% of young people who play sports have some serious injury from it. And then a lot of them, for about 30% of those people, get concussions. And then they can get concussions when they're small, you know, when they have... they're growing and the brain is developing, it causes a loss of IQ later on in life. So, I mean, I would think the parents, responsible parents, would not send their kids to like these sports like soccer or football or anything like that because, I mean, you're damaging your kid's future. There's a good chance that your kid's future is going to be impeded by that activity. And it, you know, and also increases the animosity the people have towards each other. I mean, obviously competition is natural, but if it increased to such an extent that people are developing this anger towards each other, like they do in some of the football games in South America, they kill each other after them. There's soccer riots. I mean, that's a little too much. Anyway, so that's another type of intoxication. Another type that may be politically incorrect is like food intoxication. Like people, I know in the beginning days of the Krishna Conscious Movement, we would take so much sugar, and of course it'd make us all jolly right after we took it. And then the next morning we'd be all angry with each other because, I mean, just like we were hungover. Not in the literal sense. I mean, I guess in the literal sense. It's just that we took so much that the blood sugar dropped the next morning, and therefore we had low blood sugar, hypoglycemia. And we were angry with each other. We were fighting. Brahmacharis would fight each other the next morning. In the evening, Sunday evening, we'd be ecstatic, best of friends, and Monday morning, we'd be the worst of enemies. So these are types of intoxication. You know, sugar, too much sugar, fatty foods. I mean, people get intoxicated or attached to these things. Or, you know, people question about chocolate, too. You know, here's a big thing, you know. People make smoothies with chocolate and think it's healthy. So, chocolate is a stimulant. It's a CNS. It's a central nervous system stimulant. You know, that's why they give it on Valentine's Day, because it just stimulates you. I mean, a little bit, and in other words, it's not the chocolate per se, because a little bit can actually be good for your heart, a little bit of dark chocolate without sugar. You take chocolate, little dark chocolate without sugar, it can be for the heart. I mean, there's certain things, like I said, it depends on how you're using, what reason you're using it for. I mean, even things like we're not supposed to take onions and garlic. But garlic can also be used as an antiseptic or antibiotic. An antiviral. It's one of the best things. I've seen devotees cured from MRSA with garlic. You know, that means a bacteria that's like, can't be stopped with normal antibiotics. So there's a use for these things. It's not the substance itself that makes it intoxicant. It's how you use it and the mentality of when you're using it. Like I said, even marijuana, if it's used for pain relief if someone has terminal cancer, is not considered an intoxicant in a negative way like that. So it's really the mentality. It's not the substance, it's the mentality. Like TV could be used as an intoxicant. Or movies or any of these things that I mentioned before. So, you know, fats, sugar, different types of foods can be used in toxic. You drown yourself out. You drown your sorrows with food. Or, you know, because you don't love Krishna, then your whole loving propensity is focused on eating. You know, you have emotional needs. You eat. So these are all different types of intoxication. So, let's talk about something much more interesting. Spiritual intoxication. Because spiritual intoxication brings us closer to Krishna. That's really the point. That really should be the standard, you know, whether we consider something against the practices or principles or that it's in tune with Krishna consciousness. Now, what is spiritual intoxication? We can get intoxicated dancing and chanting for Krishna, right? We can get intoxicated hearing Krishna's passing. In fact, there's this thing called Divyon Mada. Divyon Mada means transcendental, basically intoxication. Madness. You know, just like if someone's mad, a mad person could say anything. So if a devotee becomes transcendentally intoxicated, he can dance for 72 hours like Vakeshwara Pandit, who was the associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the house of Srivas Thakur. So you have this spiritual intoxication, and that's really what we're meant to go for, is this spiritual intoxication. And then in the spiritual world, we find Krishna and his associates sometimes taking intoxication too. Which is really interesting. I mean, let's say Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Lord Chaitanya and his associates would sometimes eat so much, it would practically up to the neck, and he'd keep feeding, that's intoxication. But that increases one's Krishna consciousness. That brings one closer to Krishna. Or you have in the spiritual world Lord Balaram getting intoxicated with the gopis, and he's taking this Varuni beverage, so intoxicated, and he calls for the Jamuna to come near, and the Jamuna thinks he's just intoxicated. And the Jamuna refuses to come, and Lord Balaram takes his plow and he scratches the Jamuna to bring the Jamuna closer. And today, if you go to the banks of the Jamuna where this pastime took place, you actually see the scratches of the plow. The Lord Balaram's plow, you actually see, like, there's like many rivulets that are almost parallel from the Jamuna to where the temple is, where Lord Balaram executed this particular pastime. So, I mean, they're spiritual intoxication, because they become mad with love of God. It's all based on pleasing Krishna or pleasing Balaram, who is non-different from Krishna. Or then, the Acharyas are even right about Krishna and the gopis drinking honey wine. The gopis become so intoxicated that they pour the wine on the wrong side of the glass. I don't know if you've ever seen a wine glass. One devotee did that to Prabhupada one time, not because he was intoxicated. A devotee was trying to pour water for Prabhupada, and these fancy glasses, sometimes it looks like the other side is a receptacle for liquids. And so the devotee had it upside down and he poured it on Prabhupada's desk, and the water got all over the place, because he thought it was the top of it. So anyway, so in Krishna's pastimes, this also occurs, that the gopis, they're just like shaking from intoxication because they're drinking all this honey wine, and they're pouring it and it's coming out on the ground. And so that sort of intoxication brings them closer to Krishna. Means Krishna enjoys that. I mean, because whatever we have in this world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual realm. So there's intoxication also there. I mean, there's sporting games there. I mean, Krishna and his friends, they're playing with a bale fruit, you know, throwing it from one to the other, teasing each other. So there's sporting games there. There's dramatic performances. There's Krishna's illicit life going on. Of course, with Krishna, it's not illicit. But apparently, you know, the conjugal ras, the parikya ras, unalloyed, lawless love between Radha and Krishna. So that's going on in the spiritual world. And so whatever we have here covers us up. Whatever they do there makes them closer to Krishna, gives them real happiness. And whatever we have here makes us miserable. People don't become happy by taking intoxication in the material world. I mean, I remember in the university, when I went to the university, Saturday morning or Sunday morning, all the kids had been intoxicated the night before, and they were lying in the halls, in the dormitory, practically drowning in their vomit. And they did not look happy. They were not happy campers, as we say. But in the spiritual realm, they take this intoxication. So anyway, Krishna and the gopis, and another example is in the Ramayana, where Hanuman and the monkeys, they encountered Sita. Of course, Hanuman encountered Sita by crossing the ocean to Lanka. And they were carrying back the message to Lord Rama. They were so happy that they broke into the Madhuvan, where the honey and the honey wine was kept. Sugriva had this like nice garden. And they were drinking so much honey. And the honey, of course, causes people to urinate more, so, and not just people, monkeys. So, and so they were actually just like, it all came out from them, you know, they were drinking so much honey, and they were just rolling on the ground, they beat up the guard. The guard's name was Dadi Mook. And they beat him up. And Sugriva was happy that his honey garden had been destroyed, because he understood this meant that they had found Sita Devi. So he's very happy with that. But so you find they're very happy and they're getting intoxicated there, the monkeys. So that's Krishna conscious intoxication. So anyway, if you want to enjoy intoxication, you become a monkey. So if you want to enjoy, you enjoy Lord and Raman as pastimes as a monkey. So anyway, if you want to enjoy intoxication, you can do that in Krishna consciousness. I mean, it's so nice. Kevala Nanda Kanda. It's simply happiness. You dance, chant, listen to Krishna's pastimes. And as we mentioned on Sunday, you know, several people have approached me since then saying they have no taste. It's interesting. But several people have approached me, they say they have no taste for chanting, or no taste for the various aspects of Krishna consciousness. And so then they need to take another type of intoxication, just forget about their miseries. You know, immerse themselves in computers, immerse themselves in this or that. And so the reason people don't have a taste is generally because they're committing some of the offenses on chanting. At least they're not attentive, or at worst, they're offending the Vaishnavas, the devotees of the Supreme Personality, Godhead. Because if we don't commit offenses, and we endeavor to chant clearly and purely, then Krishna, every aspect of Krishna consciousness will be so blissful for us. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur has that nice poem, Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu. He said, since I've taken up devotional service, it's just a little taste of prasadam, the holy names, everything causes ecstasy. So we can be intoxicated 24 hours a day in Krishna consciousness if we don't commit offenses and we don't cultivate material desires. We can have them, but you better try to get rid of them. If we don't cultivate material desires, we don't commit offenses, and we associate with pure devotees of the Lord, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And then we can experience literally spiritual intoxication and all these material things we won't want to engage in anymore. I mean, we won't be attracted to falling in love. We won't be attracted to, what else is there? Taking, overeating. We won't, eating the wrong things. Or won't be attracted to sporting activities. I mean, it's amazing how devotees sometimes are attracted to sporting activities. I mean, I'm giving this example, which is intoxication. I gave the example that many times before, that when I was in Fiji, the devotees were watching the rugby games, or Fiji Sevens, or whatever it's called. Yeah, I don't even know about this game. And it was taking place, this game, it was like World Championship, it was taking place in the UK. And that means in Fiji was the middle of the night, Fiji time. So midnight I started hearing from all the ashrams, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Because they were watching this. And, I just was shocked. Even the next morning, I asked all the devotees, did you see it? Do you see it? And they all said, yes. And then I even thought for a second that the women would be more intelligent. It was just the stupid men who were doing it. And so I asked the women, did you watch it? And they said, yes, we watched it too. That means they're not having enough happiness in Krishna consciousness. There's something missing from their performance of Krishna consciousness, because rasa varjam rasyopyasa param jishradi vartate, you'll experience a higher taste and won't be interested in the intoxicating features of this material world. So any questions or comments about intoxication? Because this is what the verse was about, soma rasa. His devotees asked about that. Yeah. Performance enhancing.
Yeah, how it keeps one from,
because depending on that. It gives one a false sense of strength and enthusiasm, and everything like that is just coming from some chemical thing in the body. Where's that in the Bhagavatam? It says that in one particular planet, the women feed the men this particular type of, you may remember this, intoxicants, so they feel like as powerful as elephants. And then they do something with them. Anyway, they cheat them in some way or other. I forget the exact thing. So it gives you a false sense of, being on top of the world, being powerful, and increases the false ego. That's what I've seen with the coffee. I mean, just like one becomes wired up. Of course, some people are so much ignorance they may need to take it in the morning. Because they've been engaged in other activities the night before. And so they're so dull. You know, if someone's been watching movies at night, you know, obviously they're going to be so dull the next morning. Or doing some other activity, you know, illicit sex or other types of intoxication. You may need coffee to wake up. I'm not justifying it. But if one, and then one gets addicted to these things. I mean, my mother would take coffee and when she didn't take it, she was impossible to deal with. You know, I'd be talking to her in the morning before school, and I said, "Mom, did you take your coffee yet? Please take it right now." Because otherwise, I mean, she was so much on edge, and she was jittery and everything like that. Don't tell my mother that. So, it just gives one a false sense. It separates. Intoxication, material intoxication we want to avoid, separates us from Krishna. Like I said, it's not the substance. It's the mentality and the use of it. Like even coffee, I'm sure, has some medicinal use to it. At a certain, you understand? I'm sure that there's, you know, some medicinal hospital use for a stimulant like that. The Prabhupada actually said that. You know, even poison, Prabhupada said, has some medicinal use. Herbs have some medicinal use to them. But it has to be done for the proper reason, under the proper supervision, etc., like that. So that's what intoxication is. So we should avoid intoxication that takes us away from Krishna. Okay. All right, interesting. And don't take sugar to wake yourself up in the morning.